We're looking at the Haftorah of Parshas Naso. The connection to the Parsha is an obvious one. The Parsha speaks about the halachas of the Nazir, and the Haftorah is from Sefer Shoftim, Perek Yud Gimel, where we are introduced to the prelude to the birth of Shimshon, who of course was himself a Nazir from birth, and a Nazir for life. And the story is a famous one, but we're not going to, in the Haftarah at least, speak about the actual life events of Shimshon, but rather the prelude to Shimshon's birth. And that itself also is a fascinating read of the Psukim to see what brought about Shimshon's birth. So we'll begin with the opening Psukim, where the Navi describes in Perek Yud Gimel of Sefer Shoftim, there was a man from the family of Dun, of Shevet Dun, and his name was, of course, Manoach, and Ishto Akara. His wife was barren. She had been unable to give birth, and V'lo Yolada, the Torah, the Navi tells us, she had no children. So in the very opening Psukim, we are then told that the Malach Hashem appears to the woman, and she's never mentioned by name, although Chazal tell us her name was Slalophonus, but her name is never mentioned in the Psukim. We know her husband's name, Manoach, but his wife's name is not mentioned in the Psukim. The Malach Hashem appears to the woman and says to her, "Behold, you are barren." It's almost somewhat strange that he has to inform her of that which is the most obvious and most painful fact that she's living with. V'lo yoladet, you haven't given birth. But then he immediately says, V'haris v'yoladet bein, but you will conceive, you will have a child. And then he instructs her, V'ata, and now, hishamrina, be very cautious, v'al tishti yayin v'shecher, don't drink any form of wine, Rashi explains, new wine, nor old wine, v'al tochli kol tamei, don't consume anything that is tamei. Now, what exactly that phrase refers to, Radak debates, does it mean that she's not allowed to eat that which a nazir cannot eat, any grape or wine derivative, or is it an expression that al tochli kol tamei means perhaps don't come into contact with anything which is tamei? Either way, she's been given instructions to avoid that which a nazir himself must avoid when the nazir is born. And that itself is a very fascinating concept. I understand the nazir, upon becoming a nazir, can't eat any grapes or wine or drink any wine or come into contact with anything which is going to make him tamei lames. But why would one expect that the same prohibitions and restrictions should apply to the mother during her pregnancy? Granted, Shimshon was a nazir from birth, but okay, at least from the time he's born, why would one expect that this restriction or these lists of restrictions should apply even to the mother during pregnancy? So the Pashup Shat, Rav Gamliel Rabinovitz explains, is that presumably Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Kedusha of Shimshon to begin already during the pre-birth months of pregnancy. That already that impacts the Kedusha of the child, apparently. And as illustration, he cites famous Mishnah in Perkei Avos, Perek Beis Mishnah Ches, where the Mishnah speaks of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya. And the Mishnah says, Ashrei Yoladato, fortunate is the one who gave birth to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya. And the Baruch Hu explains, when you're listing the praises of a Tana, the Mishnah lists numerous Tanoim and what makes each of those Tanoim unique. And yet when it comes to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya, instead of listing a praise of the Tana himself, the Mishnah mentions, Ashrei Yoladato, fortunate is the one who gave birth to him, as if to credit all of his spiritual successes not to him himself, but to his mother, Ashrei Yoladato. So the Bar Tanura is bothered when you're listing all of the praises of various Tanoim, all of a sudden you come to Shub ben Chananya and you tell me Asher Ladato, how fortunate his mother is who gave birth to him. So Bar Tanura explains, you know why? Because the mother is the one who really took the credit for him becoming the great Chacham that he was. Why? So says the Bar Tanura, because when she was pregnant, she would circulate to all the Batei Medrash in town, and she would ask the Talmidei Chachamim, please daven for this child yet to be born, that he should be a Talmid Chacham. And when he was born, famous Maimer Chazal, when he was born, she kept his crib near the Beis Medrash, or in the Beis Medrash, it seems to say, so that he should only hear Divrei Torah. And the message, of course, being that the Kedusha of the child begins even before the child even knows that there is something as Kedusha. The Kedusha of the child begins already at the incipient stages of the child's formation and growth, even in utero, when the mother has numerous individuals davening on behalf of the child. B'derech HaMusar, Rav Gamliel Rabinovitz adds that it's a very, very beautiful lesson in terms of how to successfully be mechanech one's children. The chinuch depends upon what the parents do in their own lives. If the mother wants Shimshon to be someone who avoids eating grapes and drinking wine and becoming tameh, she has to do that herself. She has to model that. She has to avoid eating grapes, drinking wine, becoming in contact with that which is tameh. And if she's accustomed to it, that's how she conducts herself. Well, that's how then her child will also learn to conduct himself. He cites a quote from the Chazon Ish that the chinuch of one's child begins 10 years before the child's born. In other words, the behavior of the parent that is already habitual by the time the child is born, that's what determines the chinuch of the child. But then the additional layer of interpretation that Gamliel Rabinovitz adds to this prelude to Shimshon's birth is that essentially what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through the Malach Hashem, is telling Shimshon's mother is that if you want to be zocha to a child who will be a kadosh, so you have to take it more upon yourself. You want to be zocha to a Yeshua Hashem, you have to elevate your own level of living, your own lifestyle. Your own lifestyle should be one of kedusha and of precious to a greater extent than before. So yes, these instructions given to Shimshon's mother are not just to ensure that the Nazir is born with kedusha from birth, but that she herself, in order to be zocha to this child, should elevate her own lifestyle, her own manner of living, in order to be worthy of that child's birth. So says Gamliel Rabinovitz in explaining the opening psukim in the Haftorah. And then, if we look back at the Chumash at the Haftorah, we then find the psukim described to us how the Malach Hashem informs the mother of Shimshon, the wife of Manoach, that you will conceive, you will give birth to a son, no razor shall be placed on his head. He will be a Nazir Elokim, min ha-baten, from birth, essentially. V'hu yachel lahoshia es Yisrael miad plishtim. He will begin the process of saving Klal Yisrael from the plishtim. The Navi had previously told us that for 40 years, the plishtim were in control of Jewish life in Eretz Yisrael, and Shimshon will begin the process of fighting back the plishtim, beating them back, and rescuing Klal Yisrael from their hands, from their persecution. So then, interestingly, the Pesukim describe how after this remarkable, miraculous interaction between the Malach Hashem and Manoach's wife, apparently Manoach wasn't even there. The Pasuk says that the Malach Hashem appeared to the Isha. She was the one who was zocha to this remarkable revelation and information. So she quickly runs to her husband in Pasuk Vav, and she tells him, Isha Elokim Ba'elai, a man of God came to me, Umar Ehu Kemare Malach HaElokim, but he looked like a Malach HaElokim. Also interesting, an Isha Elokim, a man of God came to me, but he looked like a Malach HaElokim. As if she knew what a Malach HaElokim looked like, or she sensed that there was something holy about this individual who appeared to her. Somehow she had that sense that this wasn't just an ordinary person that came to me, but it was an individual who looked like a Malach HaElokim, who looked like a Malach HaElokim. Rav Gamliel Ben Abbas notes that if you look in Chazal, it was an accepted notion that every Jew is accompanied by Malachim. When you come home Friday night from shul, what do we say? Shalom Aleichem, Malachi Asharis, the Gemara on Shabbos, that we greet the Malachim who accompany us when we come home from shul. I mean, the Gemara Shabbos describes how the Malachim escort us home to shul, and the Shalom Aleichem is in reference to that. Ma'amar Chazal, we're greeting the Malachim. The Gemara talks about how when one enters the Beis HaKiseh, one enters the bathroom, you're supposed to ask the Malachim for their forgiveness while you take a leave from them for a few moments. Hiskabdu mechubadim, please, you know, I respectfully ask you to wait for me here while you enter the Beis HaKiseh, the bathroom. Or the phrase recited by Kriya Shema Lamita, B'Shem Hashem Elokei Yisrael. We describe the Malachim in front of me, to my left, to my right, behind me. Right, there are so many instances in Chazal where we find this idea that Malachim are escorting us throughout life. Malachim all around us. You know, we ideally should be living with that sensitivity that we're escorted by Malachim everywhere we go. A Maisa Mitzvah creates a Malach. A Malach that is Melitz Tov, that advocates on our behalf. And perhaps if we have that sensitivity, so you see that sensitivity reflected in this pasuk, says Rabbi Gamliel, that she says to her husband, I saw an Ish Elokim, he looked like the Malach Elokim. You know, they were living with this sensitivity and awareness of Malach Elokim all around. So she describes the Ish Elokim as appearing like a Malach Elokim. Nor Ma'od, he was very, very awe-inspiring. And I didn't ask him where he came from. He didn't tell me his name, she says. But he told me that you will conceive and give birth. And he instructed me, don't drink wine, new wine, old wine, don't consume anything impure, because the child will be a Nizir Elokim min habeten. So she repeats to her husband Manoach the conversation she had with this Malach HaElokim. And interesting to note, and this the Mefarshim pick up on, she omits in her description to her husband the fact that he said to her, if you look back in the earlier psukim, the Malach Hashem began his conversation with her by saying, you're barren, you haven't given birth. That she omits when she recounts the conversation to her husband, as if to omit that which was essentially blaming her, if you will, for the fact that she had not had children. She omits that in the conversation with her husband. And then what happens? Vayatar Manoach El Hashem, in Pasuk Ches, Manoach praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The phrase Vayatar, we know, appears in Chumash. Vayatar, Yitzchak, Lenoch Echishto, Yitzchak Rivka also, childless initially. The same puzzling word used for tefillah. It's an unusual word. Vayatar, Yitzchak LaHashem. And here too, Vayatar Manoach LaHashem. Two childless individuals. And the same strange, uncommon description for the word tefillah, vayetar. And what does he do? He asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be Hashem ish ha'elokim asher shalachta, please God, that man of God that you sent, yavo na'od eleinu, send him again, v'yoreinu mana'aseh la'na'ar hayulad, and let him instruct us what we should do for this child. It's almost as if he's not willing to take his wife's word for it. He wants to hear directly, firsthand. If this is someone we're entrusted with, raising a Nizir Elokim in HaBeten, such a holy child, such a holy mission, I need to hear firsthand what my instructions are. I'm not going to rely on anybody else. Even my wife, secondhand from the Malach. I want to hear straight from the Malach Elokim myself what exactly my instructions need to be. In other words, you see how he is immediately taking this mission so seriously. He's not just grateful that he is promised a child. He's viewed this as a mission, as a chov kadosh, a mission to raise this holy child. So he wants to know, I need to hear firsthand. If I'm being entrusted with this very sacred mission, I need to know firsthand, what are my instructions? What do I need to know with regard to raising this child? And he davens that he should be zocha to see the Malach Elokim. Apparently, for whatever reason, he wasn't zocha the first time around. And yet he's begging to be zocha the second time around. And the pasuk says, "Vayishma ha'alakim b'komenoch." God listens to his prayers, and the malach ha'alakim comes yet again. But interestingly enough, again to the woman when her husband is not there. It's almost as if there's like a deliberate message here, subtle message, that it's the wife who is the one who is zocha to the revelation of the malach ha'alakim. Even though the malach ha'alakim came a second time because of his tfilos, but he came to the wife, Eshes Manoach, when she was out in the field, when Manoach wasn't there. So again, an interesting, on the one hand, it was in response to his tfilos that the Malach Elohim came a second time, but he came yet again to the Eshes Manoach, to Manoach's wife, as if she is the one who is really the one who is zocha to this revelation. What's even more remarkable is the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Samach Aleph. The Gemara there tells us, Amar Rav Nachman, Manoach Am Ha'aretz Haya. Manoach was really an Am Ha'aretz. Wow. You know, I would have thought Manoach, the father of the great Shofet Shimshon, the man whose wife was Zochet to a Gilui Malach Elohim, I would have thought that he is perhaps one of the holy tzaddikim in Klal Yisrael. But yet the Gemara says, tzaddik maybe, not discounting that possibility, but Am Ha'aretz at the same time. Am Ha'aretz. Amazing. He's an Am Ha'aretz, which means this is a man who the Gemara says is an Am Ha'aretz. The Gemara gives examples. The Gemara says he didn't know the basic halacha that it's not appropriate to walk behind a woman because the psukim describe how he walked behind his wife. And the Gemara Bracha says it's not appropriate for men to walk behind a woman. He didn't know that basic halacha of tznius, of simple conduct. He's an Am Ha'aretz. Didn't know the simple halachas. So one second. Am Ha'aretz, and yet his tefillah was able to bring about a revelation of Malach Elohim. It's remarkable. It says Rav Pamzatzal, think about that. The Gemara says this is an Am Ha'aretz. The Gemara says he didn't know Pashat Halacha that everyone else apparently knew. And yet it was his tfilos that were the force that brought about a revelation of a Malach Elohim. The Pasuk says, despite the fact that the Malach came to his wife, but whose tfilos were the ones that elicited that appearance? Vayishma ha'alokim b'kol Manoach. It was Manoach's tefillah that brought about that Malach Elohim revelation. Says Rav Pam, this is a remarkable musr. When you think about the koach of a tefillah of what of a person, the Gemara first was an Am Ha'aretz. He might have been an Am Ha'aretz, but his tefillah was capable of bringing about a Gilui Malach Elohim, a revelation of the Malach Hashem, which itself is a remarkable, remarkably uplifting message. That a person can be a simple Jew, a simple, simple Jew, and yet his koach ha'tfilah can bring about a Malach Elohim coming back yet again, seemingly unnecessarily, because he requested it. Why? Because Kavanas was L'Shem Shemayim. He wanted to know firsthand, how should I fulfill my duty, my avoda here in raising this child? So he asked for a Malach Elohim to come yet again and visit him, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants that request, which is an amazing, amazing musar. And the word vayeta that we referred to earlier as that strange word used for a reference to tefillah, doesn't say vayispalel, vayivakesh, vayipal apana, vayishal, vayeta. What a strange word. So the Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Naso, and the Gemara in Yevamos also says the same thing with regard to the tefillah of Yitzchak, which is also described with that phrase vayetar. The Gemara says, the word vayetar really comes from the word eser, ayin tuf resh, which is a reference to a pitchfork. Very strange reference, a strange word to use to refer to tefillah. So the Medrash Rabbah says, Om Reb Shimon Lakish, lama nimshla tefillas hatzadikim le'eser. Why is the tefillah of tzadikim? Now again, Manoach is described on the one hand as an Am Ha'aretz, but also as a tzadik. You can be both. It's not a stira. You might not be the most educated, halachically knowledgeable individual, but a tzaddik, a person, can still be. So why is the tefillah of tzaddikim referred to as a pitchfork, says the Gemara? Because what does a pitchfork do? You stick it into the hay and you turn it upside down. You shovel, you throw the hay from here to there. You turn it upside down. So the Gemara says the same way when you're in the silo and you're using that pitchfork to shovel your hay from here to there. And when you do so, you take it, you turn it upside down, dump it upside down somewhere else. So just like a pitchfork can be mahapich es hatavu, I mean makom lamakom, it can turn over the grain, the stalks of grain, whatever you're shoveling away. So too says the Medrash, a tefillah of a tzaddik can also be mahapich. It can also overturn something. What does it overturn? It can overturn the midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that to us is perceived as strict justice, as achzarius, as, the word is almost cruel, but it means you can be dealing with what appears to be harsh justice from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but a tefillah can transform, overturn that midah from harsh justice into compassion, into rachmanus. And this is the proof, says the Gemara, by Yishma Elokim b'kol Manoach. Manoach uses this tefillah, koach ha-tefillah, v'yetar Manoach al Hashem. He prays, and as the Gemara in Bracha said, he was an Am Haaretz, but the Medrash says he was a tzaddik, and the tefillah of such a simple tzaddik overturned the midas achzaris of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that harsh justice, no children, to a midas harachmanus, to be blessed with a child. That's a remarkable mussar. Sometimes, Rav Palm says, we tend to underestimate our koach ha-tefillah. We think of ourselves as, I'm a simple Jew, I'm not so knowledgeable, I didn't have a chance to learn in Kollel and in Beis Medrash for all those years that everyone else does nowadays. I'm a simple Jew, what am I capable of? And Rav Palm says, what the Medrash is telling us here is that a person can be, as the Gemara describes, Manoach and Am Haaretz, who didn't know certain halachas that apparently most people knew, is irrelevant. A person can still be a tzaddik, and he can still have that koach ha-tefillah to mamash transform one midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that seems to be so harsh to a midah of rachmanas, an entirely different midah as well. And Rav Palm cites the words of Rav Chaim Volozhiner in his Nefesh HaChaim. Rav Chaim Volozhiner quoting a pasuk in Sefer Amos, where the pasuk describes Magid l'adam ma secho, that when a person comes to Din V'cheshbon one day in Shemayim, based in Shalmala, the Navi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will repeat over to each and every individual every word that he spoke, every word that he said. And the Gemara in Chagiga uses that in a very sobering manner, that even that which a person says to his wife in the privacy of their own home, you think nobody's listening, think nobody hears, even those simple communications are going to be recorded, as it were, and replayed in Shemayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take us to task for anything and everything we said. Rav Chaim Volozhiner takes it a step further. He says, that also means that every word of Torah and every word of tefillah that a person utters, we have no clue how powerful each and every word is. And Magid la'adam masecho, God will show us one day, la'asid lavo, and based in Shalmala, that one word of tefillah, that one word of Torah, you know how many malachim you created from that one word? You know what you accomplished in the upper worlds, olam ha'salyonim? Rav Chaim Volozhiner calls this a sod, a raza de milsa. It's a secret that will be suddenly revealed to us when we come to Beis Din Shalmala, what we accomplished, what we brought about with that one word of Torah, that one word of tefillah. So we should never, ever underestimate the koch of that one word of tefillah, the koch of that one word of Torah. You never know what you're accomplishing. And one day we'll appreciate it. We shouldn't lose sight of that incredible significance here in this world while we're still in Olam Hazeh. Never fail to recognize the importance of every word of tefillah, every word of Torah. That's what's illustrated here by this lesson that we learned from Manoach. And the Psukim then continue to describe how when the Malach appears to Manoach's wife and she's out in the field, her husband's not there yet again, so she quickly runs to tell her husband that Ish has appeared to me again. So Manoach rushes back to the man. This time the man remains there for Manoach to get there in time. He asks him, are you the man who spoke to the woman? Yes, I am. So Manoach says, okay, well now let's hear from you directly. What will the rules and regulations of this child be? So the Malach Hashem then repeats to Manoach, everything I told the woman you should observe. Whatever is derived from the vine, lo sochal, she should not eat. Or you should not eat. wine, don't drink. Anything unclean, don't come into contact with. Whatever I told her, that's what you should observe properly. So he repeats to Manoach exactly what he told Manoach's wife, what she has to be cautious with during her pregnancy. And Manoach then, after this report, hearing it firsthand, he requests from the Malach, "No, please stay back. We will prepare in front of you a goat, obviously to eat." The Malach says, "I'm not participating in eating your bread. If you want to offer a sacrifice to God, it should be a karban ola, entirely burnt." The pasuk says Manoch didn't even at this point fully appreciate that this was a Malach Hashem. His wife described the individual as an Ish HaElokim who looked like a Malach HaElokim. Manoach, the Navi tells us, still did not fully appreciate that this was actually a Malach Hashem. He was interacting with him as if he was an individual, a very holy person, but a person nonetheless, it seems. So then Manoach asks the Malach Hashem, "Mi Shemecha, what is your name?" Mi Shemecha, which Targum translates as Mashmach, what is your name? And the Navi tells us that the Malach Hashem responds, "Why are you asking for my name? V'hu feli. It is concealed." And these psukim, this exchange, "What is your name? Why are you asking for my name? It is concealed," is so, so remarkably similar to another similar exchange between, in Parshas Vayishlach, another exchange, a figure encountering a Malach, asking for the name of the Malach is not so readily giving up his name, Yaakov and the Malach, the Sarshal Esav, and Parshas Vayishlach. There as well, we find almost an exactly identical exchange. Vayishal Yaakov Vayomer Hagida Na Shemecha, tell me your name. Vayomer, and the Malach says, "Lama Zetish Alishmi, why are you asking for my name?" Vayvarcho Shosham, the Malach blesses Yaakov. So two instances in Tanakh now. Vayishlach, Yaakov and the Sarshal Esav, here in Shoftim, Manoach and the Malach Elokim, with this very strange exchange. "What's your name? I'm not telling you my name." What is this all about? So the Chasam Sofer there in Parshas Vayishlach suggests that the name of a Malach changes based on the particular mission a Malach is given at any one point in time. So when the Malach here in our Haftarah tells Manoach, "Lama zet tishalashmi, why are you asking for my name? V'hu feli," which Pashup Shat, I just quoted you from Rashi before, means it's hidden, it's concealed. But the word feli, says Chasam Sofer, is also the word we find in this coming week's Parsha, Parshas Naso, with regard to a declaration of Nazirus, ish ki yafli, yafli, lindar neder nazal hazal Hashem. The declaration of Nazirus, the vow of Nazirus, is referred to with the expression ki yafli, which, yes, the Rishonim explain is a pella, that someone should take upon themselves such a vow of precious, but the term Nazirus is referred to as lahafli, to take a vow of Nazirus. So to hear, the Navi tells us the Malach Hashem who came to inform Manoach and his wife about their son, who would be a Nazir. He says, "My name is Feli. Why? Because my task is to inform you of the birth of this child who will be a Nazir from birth." So the same way that term Pele, Kiyafli, is used in the Pasuk and Parshas Naso to describe a vow of Nazirus, it's used here as well to describe the mission of the Malach informing Manoach and his wife of the birth of their child, the Nazir. And so too by Yaakov, says Chasam Sofer. What was the Iker mission of the Malach when he came to struggle with Yaakov? Ultimately, it was to give him the name Yisrael, to bless him with that name Yisrael. Ki sarisa im Elohim ve'im anashim vatuchal, that you wrestled with the divine and overcame those angels. So he says, "Lama zet tish'al lishmi." Why do you ask lishmi? My name, my mission is all about the shame, the name. It's all about giving you that name, the name Yisrael, the name Yisrael. That's the pshat of the Chasam Sofer. But we'll conclude with the pshat of the Rabbeinu Bachaya, beautiful pshat. It says as follows. Rabbeinu Bachaya says, you know why the Malachim are wary of giving their name, so to speak? Because if you look in the psukim here, what did Manoach say to the Malach? Manoach said to the Malach, "Tell us your name. Tell me your name, Ki yavo devarcha v'chi bad nucha. So that when that which you, you know, so that will know you and recognize you, says Rashi, v'chi bad nucha, which sounds like, you know, will honor you, respect you, appreciate you. Says Ibn Abachaya, the Malach doesn't want to give up his name to Yaakov nor to Manoach. Why? Because the Malach has no interest in taking credit, so to speak, for themselves. A Malach is an Eved Hashem who just does what he was instructed to do. He does his shlichus. So Ben Abichai in Parshas Vayishlach quotes our pasuk here in the Haftorah. He says, the Malach told Manoach, I'm not telling you my name, it's concealed. Meaning, says the Ben Abichai, I don't want to tell you my name because I have no interest in taking cover for myself. I have no interest in taking credit. He cites the pasuk in Yeshaya, kol nikra b'shmi v'lachvodi barasiv. God says, whatever I created is for my own sake, my own glory. All the credit belongs to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And this too is a beautiful lesson that whatever we accomplish in our lives, whether it be in the world of Gashmias or in the world of Ruchnias, nothing is to our own credit. It's all because the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a shlichus to do what we are capable of accomplishing, to do it l'shem shemayim, to contribute to others, to contribute to kiddush shem shemayim. It's part of our divine mission that we're sent here to accomplish. So anything we accomplish, it's not to our name, so to speak, it's to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the musa here being given by the Malach to Manoach. I'm not looking to give you my name to take credit. I'm doing this anonymously. The credit is all to Kadosh Baruch Hu. We all are Avde Hashem, simply here to perform the Ratzon of Kadosh Baruch Hu. I wonder if this has anything to do with the fact that the Pasuk keeps Manoach's wife anonymous throughout this entire episode. Like I said before, Chazal tell us her name was Slalophonus, but nowhere in the Pasuk is she mentioned by name at all. Yet she is the one here who was zochet to the gilui of the Malach, not once but twice. She's the one who's going to be elevating her lifestyle to that life of Kedusha, of not drinking any wine, eating any grapes, not coming into contact with any tumah. It's not Manoach, it's the mother. She's the one who's going to be the source of the Kedusha of this Nazir from birth of Shimshon. She's the one who's being given the workload here by the Malach. Watch what you eat, watch what you touch. Make sure you live a life of Kedusha to be zochet to this child. And she's the one who's anonymous throughout this whole episode here. Somewhat puzzling. But if the musar of the Malach is that we do what we do, not because it's our own credit, but to take to for Kadosh Baruch Hu, though. We do for Kadosh Baruch Hu only. I don't need to share my name with you. You don't need to know who I am. I'm another Eved Hashem, just doing my shlichus. That's what we should all be doing. We're just all Avdei Hashem, each one doing our shlichus. And remarkable how the Haftarah concludes with the Isha, yet again, anonymous, giving birth, calling his name Shimshon. The youth grows up, God blesses him, and the Ruach Hashem starts to come upon him from time to time in the Machane Dan. And this, of course, the prelude to the Nisan that would follow as Shimshon did battle with the Plishtim. Okay, we conclude here. Wish everyone a wonderful rest of the week.